Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thanks for coming back with us tonight. Want to do a little business before we get started. I want to remind you of our call-in number, which is 323-203-0815. As you all may know, the One Institute is our sponsor. And tonight, I just want to give you a little information about the One Institute. The One Institute offers coaches and facilitators to educate clients with techniques to achieve their personal and financial goals in life and to create successful interpersonal relationships by using our innovative, proven, and patented WANT training principles. The WANT training principles allow you to speak rationally and decide rationally and also to disagree rationally. The WANT training works by helping you to avoid negative and self-destructive thoughts and speech patterns. It teaches you to recognize and deal with gaming, intimidation, and seduction patterns of manipulation used by yourself and others. It also empowers you to achieve your life goals through simple, powerful techniques. If you want more information, please contact info@wantinstitute.org. or to schedule personal sessions, as well as finding out about our upcoming WANT training seminar dates. Again, that's info@wantinstitute.org or visit wantinstitute.org. And now, let me say, Dr. Allen, you are on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to this.
So how are you doing tonight?
Well, my acute bronchitis is better. The fumigation process has created a bit of a problem, but I'm speaking and I'm feeling okay. So it's a matter of just getting better as a bronchial human being.
Well, good. I'm glad you sound better. We were worried, and we're glad that you're feeling better. So tonight, we have a lady who sent us a question, and she has a problem with her family. Her family is hypercritical of her ever since she was divorced from her children's husband. They're super hypercritical of her, and she feels very beaten down by them. She's not sure how to communicate with them effectively. And Dr. Allen, you have great techniques for this, for like we were just talking about on the advertisement for the One Institute. So can you tell me what kind of advice or thing you would tell her to do to help her speak to her family? And
well, first I want to know if she has sons, daughters.
She has both sons and daughters.
She has both sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I first want to say that when a divorce takes place, children have a natural tendency to circle around the most disabled parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems so strange, but it's interesting. For example, thank you, dear Sigmund Freud. If a father is thrown out of the house,
right,
or divorced by the mother, very often the daughters will really be very antagonistic.
Right.
If the mother is evicted,
right,
divorced,
mm-hmm,
the sons very often will become protectors.
Her champions.
Yep.
Okay.
And so it's a matter of she, first of all, knowing that it is natural if you are the, I would hate to say healthier, but you probably are, you will probably be neglected.
Right, okay.
You see? So if you are upset about that, then you're going to have problems communicating. So The communication androgynous semantic realignment is based on the premise that we're all androgynous. Men have masculine bodies, but they have feminine souls,
right?
The anima. And women have female bodies, but they have masculine souls, called the animus.
Yes.
And so if a woman is having difficulties with her female, you know, daughters, mothers,
right.
sisters, she would do well to remember the following message. Everyone wants to be heard and known. So when someone attacks you, your very first statement would be best made as, you have a right to be you.
Right.
You have a right to think that way. You have a right to feel that way. You have a right to do what you're doing. But I do not want to fight with you. I am willing to negotiate changes, but I don't want to fight with you.
Right.
Now, what's fighting? Fighting is when people do not allow you to be you.
Yes.
They want you to be what they want you to be.
That's interesting that you say that, because one of the things she cites to me in her message was, since she's gone through the process of healing and detoxing from her ex, she has decided that she wants to go out and begin living life. One of the examples she gave me was, she wants to go out dancing, and she's going out dancing, and they're hypercritical of her going out and having friends and going dancing and doing things like that to serve herself.
Well, kids very often believe the following. If you're divorced, you still don't get to go out, you don't get to date, because you're supposed to be permanently off the line.
Right. And the interesting thing is, I would have thought that. But I sent her a message back, how old are your children? And
yes.
I expected her to say to me, 9, 10, 12, 15.
Yes.
No, we're talking about adult children in their late 20s and early 30s.
I've got news for you. They are more upset about your not acting like mom or dad.
Right.
Do you see?
Right. They expect you to stay at home and knit, I guess.
I wrote a book called Conversational Rape.
Yes.
About my doctoral thesis. And one of the last chapters is Old Fogies, where children, 20s and 30s and older, have decided that God created everything but genitals. And therefore, after you're 50 years old, or 40, or 30, whatever, you don't get to use them anymore.
Oh, okay.
See?
I see now.
And
I
so
see.
When people get divorced, very often the healthier one that's ready to go out and dance, play, whatever, the healthier one will be highly ridiculed for wanting to be sexual.
Right.
In any way. And as evil. Even though the same 20, 30, 40-year-olds are hooking up and going to rave parties.
Uh-huh.
But everybody under 40, you know, has a right to be young and sexual. But people older than that don't have the right to be. So divorces automatically put people into their script, which is the messages that were put on your head when you were young.
Right.
Started, well done, started by 3 and pretty well complete by 18. So when you get scripted to be a righteous, you know, person, you will give anybody in your family who is misusing sex and money, you see?
Right.
And usually together.
Right.
Like getting married again.
Right.
There's nothing as wild as the older sons and daughters of rich men or women who absolutely will literally drive any suitor or date away because they believe that person wants to marry, take the money, and run.
Right. They think it's a gold digger.
It's Totally true.
Which is so different from my kids, because my daughters are like, look, Mom, that guy over there is really cute. I think he's looking at you. Hey, Mom, check that guy out. He's really handsome. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, are you trying to fix me up? Yes, Mom, we are. We think you should go out and date.
You see? And could it be that they're doing that, I want you to treat yourself better?
I think maybe that they are. They think that I'm pretty focused on work and school. But I told them, you got to get me fixed with my leg, and then I'll be out dancing again. It's just a matter of time. So I have my priorities. But it's funny. They're very cute. And they're always like, that man over there is very, very handsome, Mom. He's looking at you.
Yes.
And so my kids are very different than that. They don't have that kind of a thing. Now, we have another question. And
what?
This is... Our question is this. My mother taught me that sex was bad. And so I...
Are you speaking for yourself?
No, no, no. This is one of our questions off of the internet. My mother taught me that sex was bad and that only dirty girls did it. On the other hand, my middle sister said, Mom's crazy. Figure it out for yourself. There's nothing wrong with sex. Where but, were you? And then my younger sister is a complete nymphomaniac. How do you explain that? We're all 4 years apart.
Everyone has a natural temperament. I recommend the Myers-Briggs books. Please Understand Me.
Mm-hmm.
And Kiersey and Bates's other book, Putting People Together by Different Temperaments.
Right.
We are all unique.
Yeah.
And we're like snowflakes. And some of us are, for example, intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are instinctive.
Right.
And some of us are intellectual. And some of us are feeling-centered. And you can take the Myers-Briggs test, go to the library, get the book, Please Understand Me.
Mm-hmm.
The scoring's in there.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You can also do it online. You can find it online, too.
Good. So, temperamentally, some people fit together better than others.
Right. Her question was, her mother put those implications on her, but it didn't affect her the same way. Her middle sister wasn't affected the same way, and her younger sister went completely 180.
But that's the temperamental difference.
Right. So, but mothers have a strong influence on...
Mother is the major archetype for the child under 10.
Right.
And then father becomes a connecting link to the real world, to law, order, business, jobs, money. Mother goes for love.
Right.
Dad goes for... society.
Right.
Justice.
Uh-huh. So, okay, again, our call-in number, 323-203-0815, and I've missed a couple of calls because we were chatting, but keep calling in, and we will get to you. We have another question. Biological influences, brain function, and behavior in relationships. Dr. Allen, can you give us a little bit of an overview on that?
Well, it's coming out now, the neurobiology of the brain. I want to recommend Norman Doidge's book, The Brain That Changes Itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you do anything for 3 days, you build a dendritic system on your nerves, which in effect become like wiring in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the same thing 30 days... you're soft wiring.
Right.
If you do anything new or different, particularly language, that's what I'm interested in, for 60 days, you're literally working at making it indigenous to your nervous system. Now, the interesting thing is, if you stop doing what you've been training to do, you start to unwire. So I have a little statement that I got from the Upanishads. It's called beware of your thoughts, for they become words.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. at the bank making money, the doctor's office being healthy, and in every single relationship, especially the sensual, sexual ones.
Oh, yes.
So with that in mind, our job, and I want to say something. What we're finding out now, to keep the brain very functional, neuronally, it is really a good plan to study languages.
Yes.
Because that helps you build connections with humans, mm-hmm. to fight, to be rational, to whatever. And it also keeps these pathways for the nerves. You know, I want to make a statement, which may be a little whatever. People are sitting around doing things fun, mm-hmm. to keep the brain, you know, puzzles and things. You know what's necessary,
what?
To keep the brain, not mind,
brain
healthy? Anxiety.
Oh, that's very interesting.
The anxiety of change.
Amazing.
Isn't that something?
That is crazy. We have a caller. Let's see what they have to say. Hello, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question for us tonight?
Hello, this is John of the couple, John and Denise.
Hi, John. Welcome back.
Hey, I want to thank you two for having such a wonderful show. And Pat, you've really been just a wonderful, your books and the advice, especially on thoughts, words, character. It's really been changing Denise and I's life. We're really just full of love and bliss. And I rushed home from work right now to see her on my lunch hour. I was so excited to see her. I'm rushing home on my lunch hour. So your work is, your information has just been a godsend. And I have a question for you tonight.
Yes.
I want to know, Pat.
Yes.
That was beautiful, John. You said want. You said want. Awesome.
Oh, I say want for everything now.
Fabulous.
Good. Yeah, and
that's
things are coming.
Potency building.
Material and spiritual things are coming to me now.
You're right.
Just because
you know
that
why?
Word.
Because you're attracting it with your verbiage.
Yes, thank you, Pat.
Would like is a fantasy. I would like to live on Mars or Pluto. It's a nice fantasy. Probably not going to happen. Wanting is for things that are potentially doable. So what's your question?
Why is it so important for Denise to respect me and for me to cherish her? Why is that so critical?
Well, I'm going to ask you a personal question. How old are you and how old is Denise?
I'm 50, the big 50.
Yes.
Denise is a youthful 62.
Great. Here's the answer to your question. Each 10 years of our life, we mutate from one system to another. And the system is, for example, we now know Dan Siegel has just written a book. It's out. It's called Brainstorms. We now know why teenagers act like teenagers. Do you know what it is? Nature literally does not help their body produce dopamine. See, dopamine is a real high. And teenagers' bodies don't produce the dopamine that they did when they were kids, running around like little chipmunks. And people that are mellowing out somewhere around 25, 27 years old. So we now know that nature has built in systems. How do you get a bunch of kids out of the nest unless you make outside the nest more exciting than inside the nest? Voila. So we've got kids running all over the place looking for dopamine. So at the age of 45 to 50, men are starting to take advantage of the fact that their testosterone is going down while their estrogen is now impacting their systems. So I always say the statement, grandpa's nicer than dad and grandma's meaner than mom. Because women, their estrogen is now going down, and the progesterone in their system is impacting them. So Denise is now becoming more rational, more logical, less flaky female, and you, sir, are on the edge of becoming an affectionate, feeling-centered human being. So nature knows how to balance men and women together so that they fit their life needs and wants.
That's beautiful, Pat. And I'm really enjoying the woman phase of my life. It's really nice to feel soft and sensitive.
Well, it's the yin. I like to use the word yin and yang because there are men that don't want to be called women and women who don't want to be called men. There's a wonderful book out there that's called The Yin and Yang Way of Life by Dr. Lee and Dr. Kim, because yin and yang is a Chinese quantum physics theory that Carl Jung really liked, and I absorbed through Jung the ideas of energy exchange within and without. So you two are now learning how to be cherishing and respecting.
Well, thank you, Pat. You've mentioned that we're androgynous.
Yes, so we're all androgynous.
I'm just coming into my womanhood. That.
You're
I'm
coming into your
perfectly
yin-hood.
Fine with that. Calling me a woman, I think it's kind of neat. You know, I've always life's interesting being a man, and it's even more interesting having the hormones of a woman now, and it's very nice, very lovely.
Good.
I've been saying lovely more now.
Oh, excellent, and you're saying feelings more, and when you see a sad movie, you cry more.
Yes.
Women, on the
I'm
other
really
hand,
I'm really enjoying it. It's a very nice feeling being more sensitive,
good,
and
that's
more soft and lovely, and
that's
pretty,
very nice, very nice. So,
Denise wanted to say hi to you, Pat. Is that okay?
Okay, yes, it's okay.
Hi, Dr. Pat. Thank you so
Denise.
Much for, the books that you've written, Getting to I Do and Staying Married and Loving It. We just enjoy reading those books, and it's really helped. I appreciate the questions that you have and are able to address for us.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for calling.
We're so glad you called. Don't let us be in the dark. We want to hear everything that's going on with you guys, so keep calling us back and giving us updates.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you both. Bye-bye. Okay, Dr. Allen, here is the next question. You say often, Dr. Allen, to fake beta, but when I do fake beta, I feel like I'm developing a split personality or a personality disorder. Can you discuss this with, in terms of relationships and blending?
Well, first I've got to explain beta and alpha.
Yes.
All right. As I told you a little earlier, we all are born with our temperaments. I'm an INTJ, introverted, instinctive, thinking, judgmental person. And then Carl Jung came along with Sigmund, and they added extroverted and introverted. So with that in mind, the issue is that we are all developing. I want the question re-questioned.
Yes, she's saying, how can I fake beta without...
Okay, I'm onto it.
Right.
Okay. Beta is a human being who basically is yin more than yang, wants cherishing more than respect.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
And fits very well with the human being, straight, gay, or lesbian, who wants to be respected first and cherished second. Rarely have I seen couples where it's yang, yang, yin, yin, except if they're two narcissists who basically are mated like two single people but they very, very often end up competitive. I think, I want. I feel, I don't want.
Right.
So compliments attract, similars compete. So what is an alpha? An alpha is a human being who has lived either many lives. I choose to believe we reincarnate. Anyway, we've lived many lives as a yang and many lives as a yin until we become so androgynous that we're equal.
Right.
That alpha person very often is very susceptible to addictive behavior, particularly eating, drinking, drugs, because the complexity of having a brain and a heart competing for position as a control system is hard to handle. So complex people very often, like for women, will eat sugar or drink or do mind-altering chemicals in order not to feel as much.
Right.
Women tend to knock out their feelings, instincts.
Right.
Whereas men, they don't like being competing and a cuddle, to be both thinking and feeling.
Right.
So they use, what is a man doing when he goes after work for a beer? What he's doing is quieting down the yang part of his do good,
right,
in order to feel good.
Right.
Do you see?
Yes.
So a fake, here's what happens. For women, including myself, who have been given the opportunity to study and think and do and whatever.
Right.
We do good and we feel good, which is very alpha.
Yes, it is.
Okay. It's very interesting that when people meet an alpha, they go, oh, she's lesbian.
Right.
because if they see or feel the masculine, they think lesbian or, you know, macho guy.
Right.
If they see the feminine side of it, oh, he's gay.
Right.
May not be so. He may simply be an androgynous human being who's an alpha. But alphas have a problem because very often they don't know which side of their system, their psyche, do they want to mate to somebody else.
Right.
So women who really want to be respected at work very often have difficulty not being men after work.
Right.
They like to teach. They like to preach. They like to control. Do you see?
Oh, yes.
And very often, they eat wrong or they drink wrong. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the feminine, the masculine side of them comes up. Well, I am a specialist in addiction, sexual, and addictions, alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get a recovering alcoholic, addictive, workaholic, whatever you want to call it, woman, I tell her, please, this is how I want you to talk to the men you love, whether it's your son or your father, your brother, your lover, your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Please, if you want to be cherished, you've got to waltz with someone verbally.
Right.
So ask him what he thinks, and if he asks you what you think, tell him what you feel.
Perfect, right.
Because that will elicit cherishing.
Right.
Do you see?
Yes, I do.
So, well, isn't that fake? Yes, but so is makeup.
Right.
So are pierced ears.
Hair coloring.
You know what I mean? So I see nothing wrong with teaching people to select which side of their speech, right lobe or left lobe, feelings or thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want respect or cherishing? Are you a career woman, a career man, or are you a man with a career and a woman with a career?
Right.
Each of those positions gives you choices.
Right.
And I like to teach choices.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
So androgynous semantic realignment, want training, which is my trademark work, that is a formal way to ask for what you want, say no to what you don't want, clean up your language so that you're not speaking out of both sides of your head.
Right.
And fighting with respect and cherishing.
Yes.
I think, how do you feel about it? I feel this way. What do you think about it?
Right.
Do you see?
And that's what we do.
Right.
We've got a caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. I'm trying to turn down my radio. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. I have, there's a question in here somewhere, but I sort of, the gentleman that called earlier, he has every right to say what he wants to say. However, I have a problem with it, and I'm comfortable because when a man says, he is in the woman phase of his life, it isn't clear the answer, because basically there's so much confusion gender-wise in the culture as it is, but he's not growing a vagina. He has a penis, and he's talking about the energies in his life, correct?
Yes.
And people in the world are taking it a step further and saying, well, let's get in a vagina too. And there's a lot of confusion because they've never really gotten used to the fact that they have energies associated with having a penis.
Well,
so I think there's a lot of women out there who are going, look, you don't have an egg. I have an egg. You have a penis. And what are your energy systems that dominate with your penis?
I want you to know something, that the truth of the matter is there are more men with vaginas today than ever before, and there are more women with penises than ever before.
But that's because of the dysfunction of the society and the breakdown of the family.
It's more
and the confusion.
I appreciate that, but I want you to know that creativity is by its nature chaotic. And that when you are a creative human being and you have two aspects, in other words, the alpha aspects, betas, lucky ones that they are, they have a brain that's already organized. It's already, it's not chaotic, it's complex, but it networks better. When you're burdened with the giftedness of alpha, you basically have so many choices, so many gifts, that you, if you don't know how to take the chaos of creativity and organize it into the complexity of awareness, you will not get it usefully available in networking. My goal is to help complex, chaotic people become organized, so they know how to speak in each situation. But it has nothing to do, really, with penises and vaginas. It has to do with yin energy and yang energy.
However, though, when you're born with a penis, you have yang energy, and your biochemistry works in harmony with your penis. Or if you have a vagina, your biochemistry works and your hormones work in harmony with your vagina.
It works
a certain way. But a lot of people, you see, it sounds like you are healing people, getting them back to what their original energies are.
I want you
and
to,
how to work with them.
I want you to understand that all fetuses are female to start with. At 8 days, mother spots the Y chromosome, and she starts triggering with the SRY gene, the master switch. She triggers that little girl into growing testes, producing progesterone, androgen. Everybody is somewhere on a continuum basis for masculine yang and feminine yin. No one is purely male or purely female, nor are they equally male and female. So,
well, why do you ask some of your patients, are you the sperm or the egg?
Because I want to know where on the continuum they feel comfortable. And there are women that feel comfortable being yang. And there
yeah,
are,
but they still have an egg.
Well, the egg is not useful if they cannot figure out how to marry or mate. I teach people how to know what they are. You know what I do? I say, do you want to be respected or cherished first? Do you want to be the egg or the sperm? Do you want a career over a marriage? See, what I do is I get people to understand the words that I've learned through the study of what I've studied, and I want people to figure out what it is they want on their own. It is not
right.
appropriate for families, governments. It's not appropriate
yeah.
for religions
yeah.
to order people to be this or that.
Right. Okay, I get it. You're facilitating their process to discovering it.
You have just said a very good, cogent statement.
Okay, thank you very much. That clears it up because I get all kind of, you know.
Well, complexity.
There's so much confusion about this issue that I like to hear the clear.
Yes.
You always say, make some very clear, concise statements that hit instinctively right on. And then people come on the air and a man says, I'm living the women's phase
you.
Of my life. And
I know.
That's not completely accurate. That's
no,
accurate
but it statement. Is for him. So I like to let people be. I like to just let them be. And I do want to recommend a book. God knows I want to recommend a book. It's Nexus by Buchanan. And it's about chaos goes to complexity, goes to networking. It's an excellent book about the statement that I just made.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have a pop-in with a question.
Okay, so I have a friend who spent...
Male or female?
It's a female.
Okay.
Okay, so she spent an epic portion of the last 10 years just, like, completely addicted.
To what?
Substance abuse. It's methamphetamine.
Okay.
So, coming out
so,
of that...
So, and you know what she produces is dopamine.
Dopamine, right. That's the one of the things that the kind of the foundation of the question is that just recently, with no urging, no necessary,
yes.
you know, for no particular reason, decided to just quit.
Quit using.
Right. Just
that
overnight.
Can be a rather shocking thing to the nervous system.
So then the question lies in this is that,
what's that?
At the very same time, she met a person who...
A person male or
a person
female?
Yes, a person of romantic
By the way,
interest.
Gays, lesbians, we're all doing the same process.
Right. So she meets a person of romantic interest and then just has absolutely no desire to carry on, no cravings for any kind of whatsoever.
Do you know one
involved?
Of the highest dopamine producers? Sex.
Right.
The next one is money, stealing it, making it, earning it, losing it. One of the most scariest experiences a person can get is winning the lottery. That puts you in a state of absolute complexity. And it takes a lot of work to not go berserk. So your little darling switched drugs.
That's the question. Is that a sustainable kind of existence or is that one
that's
of those
just
things
fine.
That's going to be, yeah.
Unless
so instead of replacing one addiction with another.
Here's the problem. When a female addictive personality uses, they go yang. Okay. Now that she's not on her quote drugs, mm-hmm. she is going to be more yin. And therefore, she might become a whiner, a mother. Her sobriety, you know, I'm 44 years sober, and Al-Anon is full of people that don't use drugs, but they're with people that they create the drugs in their own body, mm. which causes them to go too male or too female.
Mm-hmm. I can
see that. See, so she's got two different systems now.
So what would you, how would she maintain it? How would she apparently, does she want to be off substance.
It seems to be working for her.
Yeah. Remember, when she's on drugs that she buys and uses, she basically is decidedly changing her way of communicating. She will be much more controlling. And if the person she's with likes it, it'll work fine. But if the person she's has fallen in lust with, you know, because you gotta have chemistry, compatibility, and communication to really build a relationship. Mm-hmm. Chemistry is great for a while. Compatibility is nice if you want to get a green card or build a marriage or something. Right. And communication will help you negotiate deals. But when you have all three, you have the body, mind, and spirit. So what I recommend then is books like mine, which is Getting to I Do, and the second one, Staying Married and Loving It. All I do is manipulate the quantum mechanics of words to impact the quantum physics of energy. And there's two, yin and yang.
Yes.
Fantastic. We have a caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I'm just wondering if at a certain age, if you have two alphas, if you haven't gotten control of your life and the complexity that Dr. Allen is talking about, is it, at some point, is it even worth just staying the way you are and just trying to make the most of it? Because I find in my relationship with this person, I think when I was acting beta, you know, everything was fine. But when I started to reveal more of myself, you know, I think he got turned off.
Yes, because he wanted a yin, cherishable woman. And he wanted to be a yang, respected man. So what happens then is your yang and his yang go to war. And very often what you people do is you go into business together, even in your marriage, and you have lovers on the side so that he gets his little yin toy girls and she gets her little toy boys. So now they've got somebody for both sides. They're making money. And they're making love with people who are not the people that they married. So I'm hearing that you started feminine yin, and now you're masculine yang, which is a manifestation of your complexity. And he may not be an alpha, or he may be an alpha who basically wants respect, and he wants to be with women that are predominantly betas, and will respect him so he can cherish them. Midlife crisis is nothing more than he's becoming she and she's becoming he.
Yes, but don't we kind of balance ourselves out just naturally, like you just got done saying?
Yes, I'm going to tell you this, that between 40 and 45, we do biochemically change. And if people will do what I'm saying, which is teeter-totter. I think, how do you feel? How can I help us feel better? Or you say, I don't feel very good. What do you think about this? And what can I do to help us do better? If people do that, which is my doctoral work, if they do that, they teeter-totter. And they both get to be male, and they both get to be female. But the problem with people is, they get into their anger, and there's four angers. Frustration. Why? Why has she changed? She used to be so lovable, so whatever. Why is he becoming a control freak? Or why did she melt? Why did he become a wuss? So frustration is when people go through the process of change. Then there's a favorite one, resentment. I want you to change so that I feel comfortable. And that's called, my happiness is dependent upon your obedience with me. Then the third anger is denial. I'm not angry. Yeah, I've got cancer, but maybe on nerves. Yeah, but I'm not angry, or it's I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm ready to leave you because I want to have more fun in life. And then you leave, and within a year or two, you find out you should have stayed. And then the last anger is indignation. I am so sick of being a fake beta with you, you control freak guy, that I'm going to come out of the woodwork and we're going to duke it out. So indignation can often cause the kind of fighting that results in competitive war. And once you're at competitive war, you're on the way to a divorce. If a person is 51% valuable, you would do well to keep them because there's not many perfect people out here, but compliments attract and similars repel.
Okay, so he's kind of not open to therapy, so just keep doing my end of the
Why don't you bring the message to him? Do you want to be cherished or respected first?
I want to be cherished first, but I think I was raised to be more respected, and that's maybe how I come across.
I would be willing to bet you that you were raised to do good, to feel good, which is a masculine way. And feel good to do good is a feminine. Well, here's the messages. Yes. Please don't ask him what he feels. Ask him what he thinks, so that he can cherish you. Please, when you want something, make an appointment to ask him for it. When you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, honey, I have an idea. When would it be convenient for you to listen to me? Hopefully today. And the third tool, when you fight with him, if you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, do it. If you do not have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, please respect him. Honey, you had every right to say that, think that, feel that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. What do you think about doing it this way or not doing it that way? And what can I do to help you and I do better? That's the third tool. Fourth tool, 90% of all communication is nonverbal. I sense by the tone of your voice you're upset. Am I right? Yes. What can I do to help us do better? I believe by your body language and your gesturing, you're giving me the bird, that you're upset. Am I right? No, I'm fine. I'm just fine. Okay, if you ever are upset, please feel free to tell me what it is. Then look at your watch, and within an hour, he'll be back. I am upset. What can I do to help us do better? And the last tool is a timeout sign, like the referee. Timeout. What are you doing that for? I'm signaling you to ask me what you can do to help us feel better. Well, what do I get if I do it? If you give me a timeout sign, I'll ask you, what can I do to help us feel better? So these are the tools that help us go back and forth so that the four of us, the yang part of us and the yin part of us, can deal with each other without smashing, intimidating, and seducing.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts or tools on how to not feel so bad when you've been controlling? Because I don't want to say feel guilty, but I realize that I've kind of crossed the boundaries on some things.
You teach, preach, bitch, moan, and question without permission.
Yes.
It's called disrespect.
Yes.
And when men do it, they get mad at us for bitching, moaning. You see, we challenge them when they bitch, moan, teach, preach, and question us, and we challenge them when they teach, preach, bitch, moan. When men dump their negative feelings without an appointment, they're not cherishing us. And when we teach and preach them anything without permission, we are disrespecting them, mothering them. You see?
So really, there's no apologizing. There's just doing better next time. Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you, watch your mouth.
Yes. Okay.
Got it?
Thank you, caller. Dr. Allen, we are out of time. What have you got to say to us tonight before we go?
I'd always love to say this. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
That is true. And once again, I just want to remind you guys that you can get information about the One Institute and the One Institute programs at info@oneinstitute.org. Follow us on Facebook. Tweet with us. We love to tweet. And don't forget to visit theoneistore.com and drpatallen.com. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. We love you. Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.